good, everybody? Oh, he's so good. He's so worthy. He's so wonderful to be praised. And man, we are so blessed to be here this morning. Man, I am so proud of this church. I'm so proud of each and every one of you. We are a blessed people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I know you're ready for the word of God this morning. I've had a word burning in my heart all this week for y'all. I was so excited. I was up at 4:30 this morning, then at 6, and then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get up, I'm going to get me some black coffee, and we're going to do this thing. Amen. Amen. Life changes you sometimes. I used to hate coffee. Now I'm like, I want it straight black. Just give it to me straight black. Help me wake up in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you all for honoring God and honoring his presence. I just want to give thanks to our apostle and prophetess for this opportunity, amen, to preach and to bring the word of God. It's such an honor. I always count it an honor to come before you and to speak. I don't take it lightly, but I'm very, very thankful. And most of all, in all the things that we testify about, I'm thankful to God, because if it wasn't for him, none of this would be possible. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be touching all these lives if it wasn't for him. So let's just honor him for a moment. Father, we just honor you, God, and we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing in the harvest. And we say thank you, God, for bringing in the increase that we've been needing, God, to provide for those of you. Because, Lord, we know that we cannot do it by ourselves. But, Lord, we thank you by the power of your Spirit. So, Lord, we honor you today, for today is your day. And Father, we open up our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our souls to hear and receive the word of God today. And we thank you, Lord, it multiplies in our souls 30, 60, and 100 fold in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Well, thanks to God, I've come to preach to you today, kind of continuation of what I spoke about last time. The title of my message is Uncapped Faith, Complete in Action. Uncapped faith, complete in action. Amen. You see, we each have faith, and all of us want the uncapped faith for our lives. And last time we talked about removing the cap from our lives, and that cap was the cares of this life that get unbalanced and hinder the flow. Anyone remember that from last time? We used the example of pouring out of the vessel. Amen. And the only thing that can do that is God's grace. The only thing that can fix the holes in our lives and make us uncapped is God's grace. Do you remember the grace duct tape from last time? That there's been some holes that maybe from our past did to us. There were some holes that past things poked us and the devil used them against us. But because of God's grace, it was enough to repair and make me stronger in my weakness. Amen. And so I want to continue to build off of that message. You see, once we get our holes fixed, we can now be a vessel that pours into everyday lives around us. And did you know that there are many ways to pour out to all those in our community and our family? And what I mean by pouring out is maybe sharing your testimony.
That's right.
Sharing the goodness of the Lord. Praying for those around us and pursuing a relationship with Christ and showing others the fruit of the Spirit. Those are ways that we pour out and be an agent of change in our everyday life. But I want you to notice about all those things I just said about praying and sharing a testimony and pursuing relationship and giving and showing others fruit and being an agent of change is that these are all actions. Did you know that you can have peace, you can have joy, you can come to church, you can know the Bible, but your faith be still incomplete? Because there's one missing ingredient that you need to complete your faith, and that ingredient is works or action. You see, you may be saying, well, Pastor David, we are not justified by our works, and that is correct. You're not justified by your works, but your faith is completed from your works, and I'll prove it to you here. Are you ready for the word of the Lord this morning? Amen, amen. Let's go to James chapter 2, James chapter 2, 14 through 22. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Verse 15. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing. Verse 16. And you say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Verse 17. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Faith by itself isn't enough unless It produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. That's Bible, amen? Now, I want us to see for a moment, to look at this example that James uses here. He uses the example of a person who has no food or clothing, and the person interacts with a faith statement. The Lord bless you. Have a great day. Faith statement. But there was no action involved with their faith statement. And James says, this kind of interaction is useless. It's like when someone says, I'm going through a struggle, I'm in need of this, and we say, the Lord will provide. Amen. Faith statement, but there's no action. And the Bible says that that kind of interaction is useless. I know I'm challenging you this morning. Or it's like when the Lord told you to pay off that debt so you could be free, so you could sow into the kingdom, and you said, the Lord will provide, but you don't set a budget and you don't open a savings account. You had a faith statement, but your faith was incomplete because there was no action. It's like when you said, the Lord's calling me to go deeper, but yet you don't invest in prayer and you don't invest in worship. You have a faith statement, but you have no faith action. You have a form of faith, but it's still incomplete because you needed action. Someone say action. You see, we must understand that God will provide in supernatural ways. Yes, he will. And he will do a mighty work, right? But we must also have a work in our lives. You see, God does his work, and now we have to do our work. We have to take action. For example, saints of God, there was one time I was praying for someone, and you know it's one of those prayers where you're in the prayer closet, and you want the other person's life to change. And so I was like, Lord, shake their perspective. Lord, bother them in their dreams. Lord, shake their life. Mess some things up for them so they got to run back to you. Lord, make them inconvenient. Get them out of their comfort zone. Lord, speak to them. And I was praying for the foundations of their life to be shaken. And the Lord said to me, that's what I called you to do. While you're praying for me to speak to them, I wanted you to speak to them. A lot of the times, the prayers that we are praying, the answer is already in you and it's displayed through action. I'm preaching this morning. And so with that person, I had to realize, oh, the Lord wants me to speak to them. You see, sometimes people are so distracted by life. People are so distracted by cares and by worries that the Lord can't get through the radio waves. The Lord can't quite get through because they've got so many distractions turned up loud. So he sends a person on earth to come and interrupt their life. He wants to use you. He wants to use you and your family. He wants to use you and your career life. That's why we have got to be saints of God who take action. Someone say, take action. You see, there are some works that God does on his own, and there are some works that God is waiting for us to take in step of faith. I'm going to say that again. There are some works that God does on his own, and there are some other works that God is waiting for you to take the step of faith in. Look at that, a step of faith. It's an action. Someone say, get into action. You see, God can most certainly shift someone's perspective. God can most certainly bother someone in their dreams. God can most certainly shake the foundations of a person's life. But the Lord was saying, I wanted to do exactly that, but through you. That's why we have to be an uncapped vessel who is filled and ready to pour out. You see, you may have interactions with people who are needing an answer to the prayer, and your interaction was an answer to their prayer. Some people will never read the Bible, but they read you. They will never read the Bible, but they'll read you. That's why I can't go into places and act up and act ashamed and act all cuckoo crazy because they think that that's the Bible. No, the Bible is I interact with peace. I interact with joy. I interact with love and long-suffering. Come on, somebody. Like when your fries are cold. Christians are the worst when fries are cold. When fries are cold, I get embarrassed to be at a Christian table. Because they're like, why are the fries cold? Why aren't the fries cold? Maybe they're having a bad day. And because you acted up because your fries was cold, now they think that the gospel is all about throwing shade. We got to realize, saints of God, that there is importance to how we live our life. Not just how we speak, but how we live. How we take steps of faith. How we take action. Because people don't care about the words you say. They care about your actions. You see, there's a lot of parents in here, a lot of parents watching online. And parents, you got to realize, kids don't care about what you say. They care about what you do. You see, I learned to trust my dad when he followed up with what he said with how he acted. My father wasn't preaching one thing and then cussing at home. My father wasn't preaching one thing and being kind in here and being abusive to me, but he was being the same. He was following his word with actions. And it would behoove us, saints of God, that we've got to follow our words with our actions. We know the Bible, but now we got to know how to do some work. Someone said, get to work. You see, you are the answer that those people need. They are reading your Bible by how you display your life, by how you interact with people. You see, there's times when people don't need the uppity-uppity. People need love. People need mercy. People need grace. That's why you've got to live a life with uncapped faith, where you are so filled that when an angry person comes to your life, you don't react out of anger back. You don't let the street side come back out. Because when you're saved, you're a new creature. Come on, saints of God. I became a new creature in Christ. So it'll come. But because I'm so filled, love comes out first. And when love comes out first, it will be displayed in action. We'll say, my brother, my sister, I know you're facing anger in your life. And I face the same anger. And you're pouring out your testimony in their life. And it will begin to change their life. And even though they never set place into a church, they never read a single scripture in their life, they will see the goodness of God. They'll see the mercy of God. They'll see the grace of God. They'll see the love of God through you. Someone say, through me. It's through you, saints of God, that grace is found out there. Someone say, get to work. You see, works doesn't make you more holy than someone else, but it completes your faith. You see, we're only justified through our faith in Jesus Christ, but your faith is still incomplete if it doesn't have works. I'm challenging you this morning. This is good. God can most definitely open doors of finance for your life, and we can speak it in faith. Lord, I speak the open doors of finance. Lord, I thank you for the promotion. Lord, I thank you for favor. But then when he opens the door, you don't take no budget. You're in the steward of your money. You swipe in the car left and right because you let your feelings override your obedience. I know. Everyone's like, don't touch this. Don't touch my finances, Pastor David. Don't touch my finances. I'm going to touch your finances because you were called to be a steward of what God gave you. You are not called to store up riches here on earth, but to store riches up in heaven. Maybe God bless you like that so you can bless the homeless, so you can bless the naked, so you can say, if you need a new wardrobe, I'll buy it for you. If you need a full meal for your family, I'll buy it for you. We ain't called to live in lack. But we're called to live in abundance. So you've got to be a steward of the word. You've got to be a steward of the blessing. And you cannot be a steward unless you take action. Oh, I know that. Watch this. Sometimes we have Monday faith. I'm about to teach you this. It's a faith that says, I'll start Monday. Anyone ever said that? All y'all saying that. Come on, don't lie in the house of the Lord. We all be eating cookies. We all be eating hot chocolate right now. I know what season this is. You about to eat a big old ham and a big old turkey. And what does everyone say? Oh, I'm going to start on Monday. What's funny is you could start that diet right now. But because you don't want to get past your present comfortability, you say, I'll start it on Monday. Okay. I'm talking about some of us, you've got some Monday faith. God says, I need you to start a budget. And you say, Lord, I'll start on Monday. But I'm going to buy these Air Jordans right now. And then when Monday finally comes, you say, Lord, I'm going to start on next Monday. You see, a person with Monday faith will insert delay because of their comfortability. So God told you to minister to someone. God told you to help the homeless person right now. But because you're too comfortable and you want to buy yourself a snack at the gas station, you say, Lord, I'll bless someone else next week. And you're trying to chalk up the Lord's word to your timing. But that's not how faith works. Your faith is incomplete if you have Monday faith. But Lord is saying you need to have some now faith. Someone say now faith. You see, Monday faith is someone who knows what they should be doing but says, because I don't want to give up my present comfortability, I'll start Monday. It is someone who knows that they should what they should do but never walk in the first step of instruction. Monday faith is someone who knows what they should do but never walk in the first step of instruction. God says, I want you to restore your family, but I want you to take the first step of forgiving them. Monday faith, Lord. Lord, when I feel like it. Lord, when I get around to it, when I get this off my mind, then I'll forgive my family. Monday faith. You see, when you have Monday faith, your faith is comfortable in delay. You say, God will provide, and I'll start saving 4 years from now. Comfortable in delay. This relationship is not for me, but I'll let it fizzle out in the next 6 months. Comfortable in the delay. I'll get to it later. It's called Monday faith. But you guys see that God wants us to start taking action now. Someone say, now. Come on, put your hand up like this. Now. There it is. You're going to remember this. Now. Right there. You know. He wants us to not delay ourselves. Sometimes the delay was not the enemy. The delay was not your family. The delay was not the generational curse. The delay was you. Because we had Monday faith. Oh, I'm stepping on your toes this morning. So the Lord says, I need you to have now faith. Hebrews says, now faith is the substance. Not tomorrow faith, not Monday faith, but now faith is the substance. Come on. So you got to take the first step. That's all it takes, saints of God. You have to understand that when God sees the first step, he magnifies it. Watch this. He says, you had faith the size of a mustard seed, and because you took the step, now I move mountains. We went from mustard seed to mountains all because you took a step. Now faith says, I take a step. So I'm talking to some people this morning who are ready to lay down the Monday faith and begin stepping. You see, with every step, it doesn't go unnoticed. God sees every step you take in faith, no matter how small. Watch this. It wasn't the size of the step that proves your faith. It's the fact that you took the step that proves your faith. A lot of the times, because you see the size of the promise, you think my first step has got to be a leap. But God says it's not the size of your step that proves your faith. It's the fact that you just made the step. That's all you got to do. And you see, it's step after step after step that gets you to the final destination. A lot of the times, as Christians, we are good at taking one step. But to get to any kind of destination, you have to take multiple steps. You got to keep on taking. You got to keep on pushing. You have to keep on thriving in the Lord. You have to keep on pushing into his presence, because you can't climb a mountain by just putting your hand up one time. But it's one hand at a time that climbs the mountain. You see, to have complete faith, you also have to have discipline. Discipline. Self-control. That's what God called us to have. Discipline that says, even though I don't feel like it, I am getting up, putting on my running shoes, and I'm going running. Last week, y'all, the Lord was dealing with me because I was sleeping so good. I was so warm, and I was so comfortable. I had the blankets up to, like, right here. It was so comfy. My dog was right here sleeping. Wife's asleep, and the alarm went off, and it said, gym time, baby. It's time for the gym. I said, Lord, I'm going to snooze it. It went off again, time for the gym. And I was talking myself out of it. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting, and you're like, okay. Talking myself out of this, you know, I've been great this week. I ate a salad yesterday. I deserve rest. I'm sleeping fantastic right now. I've never been this comfortable. I deserve this reward. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness that allows me to stay in bed. And the Lord said, if you don't have discipline, you'll never get results. You never have discipline, you will never see results. I'm preaching today. He's shaking me, and he dealt with me. So I got up out of that bed, and I went to the gym. And the next morning, I had to have discipline. The Lord's been speaking to me, Pastor David, about discipline. If you want complete faith in your life, if you want God's many, 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 many blessings beyond what you can ever think, imagine, or compare, you have to have discipline that says, God, I'm going to keep working in my faith. I'm going to keep stepping in my faith. I'm not going to have Monday faith. I'm not going to be comfortable in the delay, but I'm going to make the faith now and keep on stepping. Someone say, keep on stepping. You see, now faith. You see, God is saying in this season, now is the time to start taking the step of faith you've always wanted to take. Now is the time to make room in your schedule. Now is the time to pray for that family member. Now is the time to post your testimony on Facebook. Now is the time to create the Christian blog that God put on your heart. Now is the time to sow into someone's life. Now is the time to take action. You see, there are actions that God takes, and there are actions that we take. And God takes what we did, and he magnifies it. Look at Noah in the Bible. God gave him an instruction and said, Noah, I want you to build a boat that's 450 feet long. At this time, this had never been done. They don't have modern equipment. They don't have modern tools. They don't even have a wood store. They don't have Home Depot. They don't got Lowe's. They have nothing but trees and forests and their bare hands. And God gives Noah a set of instructions. But he got up with now faith and began building the next day. I want you to imagine for a minute, saints of God, something that's never been done. And these people are looking at Noah like, Noah, you are crazy. God told you to build a boat. We've never even had a boat like that. We've never experienced a rain like that. And he had to go every single day past the ridicule, past the opinions, past what everyone else said. And he had to go chop down the tree. Then he had to mill the tree. Then he had to go get the mud and the tar. Then he had to put the boat together. And he had to keep doing it every single day of his life, no matter what people said. You see, there are some instructions, there are some promises you have got to work in every single day of your life, no matter what your mama said, no matter what your daddy said, no matter what your friends say, no matter what culture says, no matter what anyone says, you have to keep on making the steps of faith constantly in your life. And when you do that, you will get to the end goal, but you got to have now faith. So he got right to work and he moved in faith. You see, God will never just plop the boat down in your life. Could God have made the boat in heaven and plopped it down? Oh, sort of. He could have, absolutely. But God said, I'm not doing that. I want you to build the boat. There are some actions God takes, and there's some actions you got to take. You see, because if he just plops everything in your life, you become like a spoiled child. I mean, I've been to the mall before, and you could tell the difference between a grateful child and a spoiled child. A spoiled child says, I want it, and they throw a fit if they don't get it, and they're going to let everybody know if they did not receive it. But a grateful child says, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is exactly what I wanted. I'll take out the trash. I'll do the dishes. I'll do whatever it takes. This is so amazing. I'm so thankful. That's why sometimes God will not plop the boat down in your life. Because we are not called to be spoiled Christians. We're called to be grateful Christians. Yes. Amen. Listen, we're called to be so grateful at times that we say, Lord, it was only because of you that you provided. It's only because of you. And so, we have to get to work. Someone say, get to work. You see, too many times we wonder why God hasn't moved in an area of our lives, and it's because the next step wasn't on God. It was on us. So while we get frustrated at God, we stay stuck. You see, it wasn't God that dropped my wife's digits in my phone. He could have hacked AT&T, T-Mobile, and got the phone number and put it, because we believe in a real God, omnipresent. He's all powerful, right? He could have. But the Lord said, no, I ain't doing that, bro. The Lord said, I'll give you the strategy, I'll give you the tools, I'll give you the confidence, now you got to take the step. And yo, Pastor David, I was smooth, y'all. I was suave with it. We was watching The Office, and I was like, you like The Office? And she's like, yeah, I love The Office. And I was like, do you like memes? She goes, yeah, I love memes. And I'm like, well, if you give me your number, I'll send you Office memes. Okay. So he'll give you the strategy. Yes, sir. He'll give you the strategy. What I'm trying to teach you, saints of God, is there are some steps you have to take. So many times we're waiting on God. God, would you put her phone number in my phone? Put her number in my phone. Jesus, Shama, woo, put her number in my phone. And God is saying, you are delaying yourself. It's a step you have to take. God, I thank you for abundance in my finances. Oh, yeah, but we're praying it through. We're praying the harvest. And he says, would you go work that job harder than you've ever worked it before? Would you go make friends with that boss I told you to make friends with? Would you finally start a savings account? Yeah. Lord, I want you to deliver my family. Deliver my family. They are all messed up. Would you finally go and testify to them and tell them all about the goodness of God? Would you finally go and do that? There are steps God takes, and there are steps we have to take. Yes. Someone say, take action. Yeah. So God is saying now in this season, now is the time. And God is saying, I'm not going to hold your hand on taking the first step of faith. You see, a baby, after a while, when you walk a baby, you hold its hand for a while, but eventually you have to let its hand go. And when you let its hand go, even if it's a small baby step, it begins to build strength in its legs. It begins to wobble a little bit, but the baby has to let go, and it can't have a crutch any longer. God is saying, now in this season, for my people, I'm going to let go just for a moment so you can get some strength in your legs, so you can get your feet underneath you, so you can take the first step of faith and begin to walk on your purpose, begin to walk in your promise. Someone say, now. Now is the time to take the step of faith. You may be wondering, well, how do I know what steps to take? Well, you simply have to go to the Father. Watch this. Look at Psalms 37, 23 through 24. The Lord, and King James, please. Oh, sorry. No, you're fine. I'm sorry. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. They're like, don't tell me. You wrote down New Living. The Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of their lives. Next verse. Though they stumble, they will Though they stumble, they will never. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Now watch this. Let's read that again. Go back to verse 23, because I want you to get this. I want you to get this. Verse 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. You see, every single step of your life is directed by the Lord if you let Him. The scripture says He delights in every detail of their lives. That means the Lord is like, oh, I'm so happy about this. Okay, I'm going to bring this person into their life. I'm going to bring this person into their life. I'm going to bring this blessing, open this door. I'm going to close this door because they're not ready for that quite yet. I'm going to do this. I'm going to help them with their hair just a little bit. I'm going to bring this person in to give them a new wardrobe idea. And He delights in every detail of your lives, saints of God. And He wants to direct every step, but we have to let Him. You have to let Him direct every step of your life. That comes from relationships, emotions. That comes with physical, financial, spiritual. It comes for every single thing. He wants to direct the steps. You see, He orders our steps and He puts them in place if you ask Him. Notice how the scripture doesn't say He directs the steps or directs your comfortable place. The Lord directs the comfortable place. No, He directs your steps. You see, He orders your steps. That's an action. You have to take the step of faith. And when we take steps in what God wants for our lives, you will never fall. You may get tripped up at sometimes. You may stumble a little bit, but you will never fall when you let Him guide the steps of your life. You see, many times we can be making steps but feel unfulfilled or fail because it was from our order. We tried to order our own steps. It was from our desire. It was from our pleasures. It was from our timing. But when it's God's desire and His order, every step comes with more passion. Every step comes with more peace. Every step comes with more surety. Every step comes with more love. Every step comes with more purpose and fulfillment when the steps are ordered by the Lord. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. And He delights in every area of your life. Listen to me. Hear me this morning. If you invite God into your life, He delights in that. He wants to help you in every single area of your life. And He wants to help plan every single detail of your life. But saints of God, you have to understand that faith is never accomplished until a step is taken. You have to have baby faith. You have to take the baby steps to begin to complete your faith. And I'll prove it to you. Watch this. Let's go to James, same chapter, chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Look at this. If you have faith, for you believe that there is one God, well, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? 21. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Look at this, verse 22. You see, his faith and his actions worked together. Watch what it says here. Scripture says it. His actions made his faith complete. I'm going to read that again. His actions made his faith complete. Saints of God, if I were to bake a cake this morning, how many knows you would need a lot of ingredients to bake a cake? You need some flour, you need some eggs, you need the vanilla, you need the sugar, you need the toppings, you need all those things. But I want you to imagine for a moment, if you forget one ingredient, flour. You put that bad boy in the oven. The cake will not have structure, and it will actually be sugar eggs. It will be nasty. It will be disgusting. And ain't nobody going to want to eat at your house. All that because you missed one ingredient. Just missing one simple ingredient can destroy the structure of the cake. And it destroys others' appetites for the cake. I'm going somewhere. Many times we look like this and we say, I believe in God. Good for you. Even the demons believe that. But that doesn't mean your faith is complete. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Just like the cake without flour, it's useless. It's not appeasing. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't look good to everyone out there. But you've got to have a complete cake. Someone say complete cake. So Abraham's faith and actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. His actions was the flour to the faith cake. We must understand and know that good deeds and being good to others is the best way to complete our faith. I don't want to walk around with incomplete faith, but I want to have complete faith in my life. And when I have complete faith, the fruit of doing good deeds and the fruit of works will be automatic. You see, works and good deeds is an automatic fruit of having complete faith. You see, saints of God, there is more to faith than just coming to the cross and saying, Jesus, I believe in you. That's good. That was step number one. That was one ingredient. That was the eggs to your faith cake. But you need one more ingredient. You need the flour. And that's works. That's action. The Bible says his faith and his actions came together to make his faith complete. You see, you can't have flour by itself. Can you imagine if I just tried to serve you a bowl of flour? That'd be disgusting. If you just have works all by itself, that's kind of disgusting. If I just served you eggs by itself with sugar on it, I don't know, that just sounds disgusting to me. You try to just have belief by itself, that's not enough. You have to have faith and works together. You see, faith is the belief system. Works is the action system. And together, they make complete faith. And I can't have one without the other. Saints of God, to have uncapped faith, you must have complete faith. So I want to encourage you today. Let us have faith in action. Faith that says, God has been so good to me, I want to be good to you. I want to be good to as many people as I can. I want to bless as many people as I can in my life. God has been so good to my family, I want to bless whoever God tells me to bless. God saved me from such a dark place that I'm going to take the action of testifying. I'm going to take the step of faith God has been waiting on. I'm going to get rid of the Monday faith and have now faith. My faith is going to be complete because of my good deeds, and it's going to be a witness to those in need and for those in need to see the love of Christ. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what Jesus said. Saints of God, God has equipped you to take the steps of faith that you need to take. All you have to do is simply take the step. All you have to simply do is get into action. All you have to simply do is just start. It's not the size of the step that proves your faith. It's the fact that you took the step that proves your faith. Because I know I'm preaching to some people this morning who want more, who want a deeper level of God. And he's saying, if you want complete faith, you've got to take the step. You've got to take action. That can be for every single area of your life. If you want complete healing, there's some of us who've got to take the first step. Sometimes we wait on others to take the first step, and God says, I called you to take the first step. And I want to end with this, Galatians 6 and 9. Some of you may be saying, well, Pastor David, I've been taking all these steps. I've been doing everything I can to have complete faith. I've been pursuing God. I've been good to others. I've been sowing in other people's lives. I've been doing it for a long time, and I want to encourage you, because in the shower this morning, the Lord gave me this scripture. Go ahead and play. Galatians 6 and 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. I want to talk to some weary people this morning, whether you're watching online or whether you're in this place. You're saying, Pastor David, that message was for me. I want to have complete faith, and I have been taking action, but it seems like nothing is moving in my life. It seems like nothing is shaking in my life. Nothing is shifting. Nothing is coming to pass. I'm taking the steps, but it's still the same picture in my life. It's still the same outcome in my life. And the Lord wanted me to tell you this morning, let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be tired in well-doing. Some of us, we got complete faith, but you're tired. And the scripture says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Then it says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The scripture says, in due season. Saints of God, don't waste your wait. A lot of times, you're simply in your waiting season. I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. We're simply in our waiting season. We're waiting on things to move. We're waiting on things to come to pass. But while you're in your wait, get to work. While you're in your wait, take the steps of faith. While you're in your wait, you're waiting for the door to open. You're waiting for that business to come into your life. You're waiting for the family member to be healed. You're waiting for God to send someone the one. While you wait, get to work. Take the action. Ask God, God, what's my step for this season? What do you want me to do in this season? While I'm waiting on the promise, come on. There are some of you this morning, you're waiting on the promise, and I've come to encourage you, don't faint in your wait. Don't faint in the waiting season, but you got to go to God and say, God, while I'm waiting, what is your assignment for me right now in this season? That's good. That's good. You see, a lot of the times we got tired in the wait. We were saying, Pastor David, I was doing so good and it took so long, longer than what I expected. And the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season, the Bible, that means in modern translation, that means in the right timing. That means in God's timing, you will reap. I'm going to say that again. You will reap. If you don't hear anything from this message, hear that this morning. You will reap. You will reap for your family. You will see the harvest for your finances. You will see the harvest for your business. You will see the harvest for your spiritual and financial lives and relationship lives and career life. You will reap if you faint not. The faint not means we gave up in the waiting season. Hear the pastor this morning. Do not give up in your waiting season. Do not give up in your waiting season. Listen, y'all, Pastor David, I've been teaching the youth a long time. And there's been times when there's been a lot, and there's recently in this season, before we switched to purpose groups, there was only two. I remember going up in the prayer room. I feel you, Lord. Because I've been teaching the youth since I was 18, and 26 now. Long time. Long season. Y'all, that's 8 years, y'all. That's a long time. Some of you, you've been in your waiting season for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. There's some promises you've been waiting on for 30 years. But watch what happened. There's only two. And I said, God, is this all that you have? And he said, don't be weary in well-doing. Teach these two as if you could teach 500. I gave it all I had. I taught with my passion, with my love. I taught with everything within me. And y'all, this just yesterday, it wasn't two, there was 20. There was two, I'm not, come on. There wasn't two, there was 20. And I'm telling you, if you faint not, the devil wants you to faint because he wants you to see that there's no promise coming. He wants you to faint because he wants you to see there's no increase coming. He wants you to faint because he wants you to give up. And at the point he wants you to give up is the point that God is coming through, is the point that God is multiplying, is the point that God is increasing. I come to encourage you this morning, do not faint, for you will reap in the right timing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I ask everyone to stand to their feet. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Listen, I want to encourage you. We've got to take steps of faith. Steps of faith. For some of you, that's opening a savings account. For some of you, that's looking up, how do I do a budget on Google? For some of us, how do I eat healthy? Come on. Sometimes to take the step, you have got to face the music and say, I don't know. A lot of times we didn't take the first step because we didn't want to face our pride. Oh, I know how to do it, but you never took the step. I know I'm being a pastor for a moment. You see, when it came to finances, I had to say, I don't know. Apostle, can you help me with this? I don't know how to invest in nothing. I don't know how to do nothing. For a lot of us, you say, I want to increase in my prayer life. You need to go to God. I don't know how to pray. God, this is, I don't know how to do this. You need to say, I don't know. Sometimes the I don't know, you see, I don't know doesn't mean you're ignorant, it doesn't mean you're foolish, it doesn't mean you're stupid, it doesn't mean you're incapable, it simply means you are accessing a new realm of knowledge. You're accessing a new realm of understanding. So I've got to take the step of faith, and I've got to say sometimes, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. God, I don't know how to worship you like you want me to. God, I don't know how to fulfill my destiny like you've called me to fulfill it. But God, I'm coming to you anyways. I'm taking a step of faith anyways, because I know if I don't become weary and I don't doubt, Lord, I will reap in due season. And I'm talking to some reapers in this place who are going to reap the harvest of finances. You're going to reap the harvest of your promise. God's going to send everything he ever promised you for your life because the breakthrough is coming. A shifting is coming. And I've come to declare and decree that everything that's held up your promise has to go. Everything that's held up your promise, I come against it in Jesus' name because something has to break. Something has to break. So what we bind in heaven is bound on earth. What we loose in heaven is loose on earth. So we loose the promise. We lose the peace in your life. We lose the finances. We lose the harvest. We lose it in Jesus' name, because something has to break, and it's breaking in your life. It's breaking over this church in Jesus' name. Give God praise, because it's breaking right now. Sing it. Sing it. Worship, worship, worship. Declare and decree over this body. I declare and decree over this church. You may not know, but sometimes you just gotta say, I don't know. And God is gonna be okay with that. Because once you acknowledge I don't know, He says, I will help you in your weakness. I'll make you stronger in your weakness. My grace is enough. My grace provides all you need. And something has to break. Something has to break. Come on, receive that in your faith. In my family, something has to break. In my finances, something has to break. Come on, declare it. Declare it.
Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break. Something has to break. Something has to break right now in your name. Something has to break.
I believe. I feel you, Lord. I feel Him. There's some of us, you want to see some things break in your life. You want to see the next open door. You're saying, Pastor David, I want to take the step of faith, but you need strength. The Lord told me while I was in the shower to pray for your strength this morning. Because some of you, we simply just got weary, and you need strength. So here's what we're going to do. Before they sing, I open these altars. I want to invite you to come to the front. And if you're comfortable, I want to pray with you. And I want to pray for your strength in your life, strength to your faith, strength to your love, strength to your peace, strength to the promise in your life. If you're saying, Pastor David, this morning, I want to take the step of faith, but my legs are feeling weary, my faith is feeling weary, then that's you this morning. I invite you to come to the front. If you're saying, Pastor David, I've been waiting a long time, and I'm starting to doubt God, then you need strength this morning. Come to the front. If you're saying, Pastor David, I'm afraid I won't see it, then that's you. You need strength. Come to the front this morning. Come on, they're going to sing, and we're going to pray for your strength. Everyone else, put your hands this way. Put your hands this way.
I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you'll lead me through it. I believe you'll get me to it. I believe that you will do it right now. Something has to break. I believe you'll do it right now in your name.
Why do you do that? The Bible teaches us that when our fellow believers are in need, we need to lay hands on them. We need to pray for them. So this was not just a show of religion. This was an act of faith.
That's right. That's right.
If I preach to you about taking steps of faith, then God has to have me take steps of faith. Sometimes your step of faith is praying for your fellow believer. It's praying for your neighbor. And it's saying, I believe with you. I believe with you. That's why we lay hands up in this church, because we are a family of God. And as a pastor, I believe with you. And I believe this morning you've got a fresh strength. You've got a fresh strength for your purpose. Oh my God, today. You've got a fresh strength for the plan of God. You've got a fresh strength. You may not know how, but God says, I'm going to lead you how to do it. I'm going to lead you how to do it. And I believe over this church, over these people, over, yes, Lord, I heard you. Janisha, as you're watching right now online, I speak fresh strength to your body. I come against every attack of the adversary from this surgery, and we declare and decree fresh strength. We come against every pain in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, that it will be 100% healing in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for strength to her body. Lord, we pray and we declare and decree, Janisha, right now, you're going to feel the strength of the Lord. You're going to feel the healing of the Lord. For all of you watching online who say, Pastor David, I need strength. I need deliverance. I need help in my family. I declare and decree the strength of the Lord in the name of Jesus. You're no longer going to be doing it by yourself, but he says, I'm giving you strength. I'm giving you peace. And I'm giving you love and joy in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, let's give him some praise in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So listen, saints of God. I'm so thankful. Thank you for listening this morning. Thank you for hearing Pastor David out. This word was burning in me, and we are destined to have uncapped faith. And to do that, we have to have complete faith. And I believe that you're going to have complete faith that's completed in your actions. Amen. So I want to encourage you this week, take the step of faith you've been scared to do. Go pray for someone. Go bless someone you never thought to bless. Go love on somebody you've never loved on before. Go share the goodness of God where you've never shared it before. Go give your testimony. Go declare the name of Jesus and watch the fruit that it will reap in your life and in other people's lives around us. Amen? Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, God, that there's a breaking, there's a shifting. Lord, not only has it been happening in our lives, in Pastor David's life and in this church, but it's happening right now in the lives of these people. It's happening right now in the name of Jesus. There's a shifting, there's a moving, and God, we thank you, Lord, that your word shall come to pass, and we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen.